Reading scores among Oregon students have declined in recent years, but why? And what's being done about it? You can join the conversation by email at jx@jeffnet.org. Joining me on the exchange are two guests from the Oregon Department of Education. Alexa Pearson is an assistant superintendent in the Office of Teaching, Learning, and Assessment at ODE. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here, Mike.
And Angelica Cruz is the Director of Literacy at ODE. Welcome.
Thanks so much, Mike. Excited to be here today.
So before we talk about the approach ODE is taking to address this problem, let's start with what you both perceive is the problem. Alexa, what's your perspective?
Well, I think, you know, as our results right now in literacy are not where we want them to be in Oregon, and we know we can do better. So, you know, obviously the pandemic had a huge impact. I don't think we can ignore that. And we need to get back to ensuring that every single child has access to grade level instruction, no matter which classroom they're in, and that they have access to resources to support them if they need an extra boost or extra help. And so that's where our focus is at the department right now, is making sure we have the best research out in front of our educators, out in front of our leaders, to make sure that they can implement those practices in classrooms.
Okay, so the system and the outcomes are part of the problem as you perceive it?
Yeah, I think we, you know, we need to be able to focus in on how do we ensure there's a lot of factors here. It's not a simple answer. Mm-hmm. And we're working on it at all different angles. So getting students to school, you know, addressing chronic absenteeism, ensuring that once those students are in school and that we've made sure that they feel welcome coming to school and that they're sitting in our classrooms, that again, that we're there to double down on what are the best research-based practices that we can use in those classrooms.
So it sounds like there's a plethora of problems that are leading to these declining outcomes. Angelica, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, thanks so much for that question, Meg. You know, I think it's really important to understand that teaching kids to read and write well doesn't stop after elementary school. We know that reading and writing at the adolescent level is much more complex than it is at the early literacy level. And what we're really aiming to do with this framework is provide guidance and best practices for educators and leaders in our system to really understand what high quality literacy instruction looks like in middle school and high school and what's different about it and how they can actually make improvements within their schools and their districts around the state.
Okay, so who is accountable for these outcomes?
Well, I think we all are.
Okay.
So yeah, I think we all are.
Alexa, to your point, we all are. So where does the role of parents fit into this equation?
That's a great question. You know, parents are, we put that in as one of our guiding principles. When we wrote the framework, all of our frameworks from early literacy to the adolescent literacy framework, we put that in as one of our core guiding principles. Families are our partners in this work. You know, we want to make sure that we're partnering with them all throughout the system. So leaning on our families, and this, part of that is through the communication we do with families, inviting them to learn about what are these best practices, inviting them to see what's happening in their classrooms. We absolutely see that our families are core partners in the work.
Okay, so before we get into the solution part of this conversation, I want to find out, how do we know that we have a trending problem? How are these test scores, how are they derived? And what is the timeline that we're looking at that shows the decline? Angelica?
Yeah, happy to speak to that. So, you know, our students take standardized state assessments every school year from third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, and then also in 11th grade. And so we have those state scores. We also have NAEP scores from you know, to look at the national perspective of how our students are doing nationally compared to other states. And, you know, the bottom line is we need to do better. Our students are not reading and writing proficiently in really any of our grade levels. And this is our opportunity to provide some guidance to schools and districts so that they have the information they need and the resources that they need in order to know what that high quality literacy instruction looks like at the adolescent level in particular.
So where are our students in relation to, if we're talking about data and we're talking about test scores, where are Oregon students in relation to other states and in relation to where they were 10 years ago?
Yeah, great question. I mean, if we're looking at the middle school level, depending on the grade level, anywhere between 40 to 43% of our students are proficient on their English language art assessment at the end of the school year. And high school, similar in the 40s. So really, that's pretty consistent across our grade levels. And as Alexa spoke to the impact of the pandemic, we have not recovered from those pre-pandemic test scores. So this is really our answer to that gap and to help support districts in shifting that and actually changing that trend so that we can begin to see an increase in those achievement scores in the coming years.
So if I understand what I heard you say, less than half of our students are proficient in reading and writing. Is that what I heard?
Yeah, that's pretty much where we're at right now, which, you know, is one of the main reasons that we really focused within the adolescent literacy framework on what does reading and writing look like across disciplines. So we talk a lot about what does it look like to be proficient in science and what are the reading and writing strategies that you need to teach within a science course or within a math course so that students can do better within their disciplines and also within their English language arts assessment.
Well, that sounds reasonable, but let me just, I want to touch on this again. My guests are Alexa Pearson, an assistant superintendent in the Office of Teaching, Learning, and Assessment at ODE, and Angelica Cruz, who serves it as ODE's Director of Literacy. I just want to touch on this notion that less than half of our students are proficient, and there's this turning point that's called the pandemic. And I want to know, what were the scores before the pandemic?
You know, that's a great question. Our scores were not where we wanted them to be even before the pandemic. I do also want to note that, you know, when we're talking about our state assessment scores, it's one measure. Schools and districts also have other measures where they're doing curriculum-based measures and things like that, where they are seeing gains when they've had focused strategies around literacy. It still means, again, we have more work to do. The pandemic was absolutely caused a tremendous setback. And we are continuing right now, our reading scores have stayed pretty flat with slight decreases. I mean, I will say that. We do expect with this focus that we have right now on literacy to make steady gains. And the states where we've seen that they've made steady gains have been at this for several years. And so we're just continuing to make those focused efforts and getting very clear about what does it mean to have the best practices in our schools and how do we support our teachers, our educators, our students in making sure they're meeting those goals.
Okay, well, I just want to revisit a question I had earlier. I didn't hear the answer. With relation to other states, where are our students in relation to how other students are faring?
We are not where we want to be. We are not. I have to look at this. I have to pull up the NAEP scores specifically to be able to give you more information on that.
Right.
I'd be happy to loop back with you so that you can report that out.
Well, I don't want to embarrass anyone, but if we're saying we don't know, we're not where we want to be, then we must know where we are. And in relation to other states, I'm just trying to figure out. So if we know where we are, then we can envision where we want to be and a pathway to get there. I'm just trying to figure out, where are we?
Right now, Oregon, I have to look at where we are with, there's the NAEP scores look at a couple, if we're looking at eighth grade, our NAEP scores in eighth grade, again, I can pull that up for you. I don't have those at my fingertips at this moment.
Okay, not a problem. So let's get into the adolescent literacy framework. Who would like to tell me what that is?
I'll let Angelica go ahead and start here.
Yeah, happy to share more about this. So the adolescent literacy framework really came directly after our publishing of the early literacy framework, which was focused on grades kindergarten through fifth grade. And as soon as we published it, educators started asking, well, what about the adolescent years? How do we support our students in literacy in those adolescent years? So really, the early literacy framework was the impetus that created the adolescent framework. And the adolescent framework provides guidance and best practice for what that research-based literacy instruction should look like in middle school and high school. So it gives both teachers and leaders really clear guidance for their practice on a daily basis so that they can both see and imagine and understand the research behind what they should be doing every day with students in every subject. So I spoke a little bit earlier about the importance of teaching students how to read science differently than they read a novel, right? Or how to, what skills they need in a math classroom to be proficient in understanding complex math equations. And that looks different than how they read a novel.
Okay. How does this framework differ from previous approaches?
So prior to the adolescent framework, we had a K-12 document, and Alexa can speak more to this as well because she was at ODE when this was used. But it was a pretty lengthy overall document for K-12, and it really, you know, it had helpful information in it, but it was so complex in that it was so large and it spanned the whole K-12 grade level span that it was challenging for teachers to really have clearer guidance within it on what to do in their specific classroom and in their specific subject area. And so this adolescent framework is much more specific in that there are sections throughout the entire framework that teachers can flip to really understand, what can I do in my CTE classroom to build reading and writing strategies for my students? What can I do in my health and PE classroom to be able to build literacy strategies for my students? So it's much more specific and helpful for teachers who are in our classrooms every day doing the really hard work.
Gotcha. So looking back at the problem, is this problem of reading and writing spread evenly across the schools and student populations throughout the state, or is it concentrated in certain populations of students?
Well, I would say that, you know, when we look at reading difficulty, it doesn't target any specific population. We have students throughout our state who need support with reading and writing. We do feel that one of the things, I just want to loop back to one of the questions you asked around how is this different? I think this adolescent literacy framework really focuses in on a system-wide approach to literacy. So when we talk about, it's not only up to a language arts teacher. I think typically we think about, you know, a language arts teacher teaching reading and writing, but that language arts teacher isn't necessarily going to be able to teach students how to read in science or in social science or in their CTE courses. And we know those are specific skills. And when we're able to teach to those specific skills, it helps uplift the student and deepen their knowledge in that content area as well.
Okay.
So that's something that we see this adolescent literacy framework being different. And we did have kind of those subject area experts give us feedback on each of those chapters in the framework as well.
Okay, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this segment. And this is such a big issue. Thank you both for joining me today.
Thanks so much.
Of course, thank you.